This is the second year Greek class, and the date is January the 13th, 1983, and we're translating the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 54 through 9, 24, Bain and Manny, pages 172 to 180, paragraphs 164 to 171. It's the Baptist Bible Seminary, sponsored by the Bible for Today, the teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Hollingswood, New Jersey. The tape is tape number 1064/14.
Okay, so before we begin, shall we open with a word of prayer as we open our class tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for thy word. We thank you for this book that tells us the things we need to know for time as well as eternity. We ask thy blessing now upon us as we study from the Gospel of John. We thank you for the Savior that it speaks about, and we thank you, Lord, that thou canst help us to understand the things that pertain to our lives. So instruct us, teacher and pupil alike, and may thy Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. Right. Be with Mr. Arson, who is sick this evening. May he be able to come again next week with us to understand these things that we're talking about and to be a part of our class. Thank you now for each of our homes. We pray for them and for the work that God has called us to. Take care of our Bible for Today ministry. Be with Bill as he studies into the ministry. Help him with his secular work as well. Be with Ruth as she helps us in our office and in her home as well, to glorify thee and everything. Thank you for all thou hast done for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin, please. And John, is it 8:54? Is that the one? All right, let me read it first, and you go right ahead. We'll start out ladies first, I guess, Ruth. Why don't you take it?
John 8:54. Apokrisa Jesus ean ego doxazo hemauton. He doxa mu uden estin. Estin ho pater mu ho doxadzon me. Han humeis legate hoti theos humon esti Johnny.
Okay.
Apokrite Jesus ean ego doxazo hemauton. He doxa mu uden estin. Esten ho pater mu ho doxazon me. Han humeis legata hoti theos humon esti. Jesus answered, if I am glorifying myself, my glory is nothing. The one glorifying me is the Father, whom ye are saying that he is your God.
Okay. All those are what tense, the verb?
Present
tense, all of them, except apokrite, of course, which is passive, but all of them are present. All right, and hodoxadzon, what form of speech would that be? All right, so that would be the one who's glorifying me, or he who glorifies me, like the Father, that is the one who glorifies me, my Father. All right, good. Any comments or questions on that one? All right, Bill, let's take 55, John 8:55, isn't it?
55. Kai uk egnokate auton, ego de oida auton, kai ean epo hoti uk oida auton, esomai homoios himon.
Is that the answer?
Stosti.
No.
Al oida auton, kai ton logon autu tero.
I think that's it. All right, Bill.
Kai uk e gonokata au.
Let's see, where are we? Oh, egnokata.
Egnokata.
Is that where we are?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Alpine. Ego de oida alpine. Kai ean.
Ean.
Ean. Apo. Apo. Hati uk oida alpine. Esomai.
Esomai.
Esomai. Homois.
Homoios.
Homoios.
Excuse me, homoios. That should be homoios, yeah.
Homoios. Humon.
Himon. Himon. Sort of a half cross, huh?
Tres.
Celsius. Celsius. Sort of an AU sort of Celsius, right?
Al.
Oh, we keep going, right?
Al oida alpan kai tan lagan. Al tu te ro.
Okay. 55.
And what
do they call them? Agnoka. All right, that's from Gnosko. Okay. So that would be your perfect of Gnosko. Agnoka. You see the kappa. The kappa is the head. Kappa means the perfect.
Mm-hmm. I have not known him.
All right. Not my have not, but akate. So you see that would be the ye have not known. That would be the ye plural. Okay. Right?
And ye have not known him,
mm-hmm.
but I know him.
Mm-hmm.
And if
this is like apon, it's from Lego.
Okay,
it's the air, see? Subjunctive. Air subjunctive.
I say,
if I might say,
that I know him not.
Mm-hmm. Esma, that's from Amy, and that's your future tense, though. The Esma, that's first tense.
First person. Okay.
Person, right?
I will.
From Amy, I will be.
Mm-hmm.
I will, or I shall be. Homoios. Homos is same. Homoios is like, similar to, but not the same. That's the theological controversy. Remember in the early church, was Christ homologousia, homo theos, like God actually? I mean, was he the same as God or homoiousia? Homoousia, the same substance, and homoiousia, of lonely like substance with the body. See, right down to whiskers. This is very important. So it should be like you. I should be like you.
Okay.
Similar to you.
What is that?
Self-stay from Sotomayor, from the false, a liar. See, a liar.
Okay.
Falsificator, falsifier. From Sotomayor.
But I know him, and his word, I keep, I guard,
they are all.
Mm-hmm. I keep him guard.
All right, it's taken a nokata as a perfect active, I have known, and oida is the perfect course of oida, and apo, second air subjunctive of lego, that if I might say, like apon would say, but apo, of course, be your subjunctive air, and asamai, the future of ami, and tero, the present of tereho, keep or to guard, guard his word, keep his word. Any other questions on 55 or comments? All right, Ruth, we have the 56, please. John 8:56.
Abraham, hopater, himon, egaliastatok, hena ide, sein hemeran, sein emain, kai ede, kai echare. John?
All right.
Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he should see my day, and he saw and was glad.
All right. Egaliastatok is what Ruth.
Yes.
That's right. Here, the air's middle of Hagaliao, and Hagaliaspata. All right, the first air's middle. So he, and of course, that being the middle, we could translate the father Abraham rejoiced for himself, or by himself, or for his own, for the benefit of himself, you might say. In order that, what is ide, then, Ruth? Ide. All right. Of horao, like eidos, eidon, and so on, that's the second air subjective. He rejoiced in order that he might see my day. that's a subjective sense, I guess. He wanted to see his day. And did he see it? Eida is eiros again. Horao, he did see it.
In what sense?
And rejoiced. Well, and this achare, of course, is what it is.
Eris
passive, echare, chairo, to rejoice. So, in other words, he saw it and was rejoiced or was made glad. See, I guess that's it. Now, I think we all answered your question. I think Galatians 3:16 tells us that in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that seed was Christ. Mm-hmm. And then you remember Galatians 2, it said he preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and Isaac shall I see be called. Remember that in Galatians at all? There's a certain phrase.
Well, it goes back to, of course, quoting the Old Testament.
Yes, right.
But now, can we say that Abraham really could see, just from that statement that God made, that he could actually see Christ?
Well,
are we reading it into... as we look back, we can say, well,
yes,
that's what
reference.
I wonder,
the only thing
is, that Abraham actually saw...
perhaps he had perfect knowledge.
That could be one picture, Ruth, that's true. I'm thinking, though, of the Galatians passage, and I guess Galatians 3, like John 3:16, where it says very distinctly, I didn't bring my Bible down, I should have brought my Bible too. Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad, yes. But as it says, Abraham, God preached the gospel unto Abraham. So let me see here. Is it 3?
Yeah, 8.
3:8?
Mm-hmm.
Read that, Phil.
And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed.
Mm-hmm. So you see. So he preached the gospel, he preached the good news. Apparently, though it's not recorded clearly in Scripture, God told him very clearly about the seed that would come to bless all nations. Mm-hmm. And apparently, although it's not in his, this would be corroborative of Galatians 3:8.
Here. There's three men who came and before
saw them,
and the second one of them was a...
Well, Theophany, yes. A Christophany, yes. The appearance of God and an angelic form, yes. And of course, they may have told him more things too.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's revelation, see, a lot of things that are not told in Scripture, but this little inkling here, and then when Jesus himself said he saw it, see, and rejoiced, then he must have really seen more than we sometimes give him credit for seeing. And I guess because of that, if we could find in Genesis the particular spot where this is quoted, perhaps your marginal reference has it, Bill, and I said it didn't
look like it. Genesis 12:3.
Well, you see, Genesis
12:3,
that's where it gives it. That's before the 22nd chapter, which is the offering of Isaac. See? And he knew, and if he really understood the plan very clearly, he realized that to obey God, he would have to raise him from the dead to fulfill that promise to him. And so
he
received him in a figure, as it says in the book of Hebrews, doesn't it? Hebrews 11. So, he knew about it, so I think that would be all I could say on that, Bill, as far as the extent to which he saw his seed and was glad, saw my day. And the other portion of before Abraham was, I am. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Abraham? So there's a real connection. Of course, he's the father of the faithful and of those who are of faith. Any other comment on that or question on 55? Or 56, I guess. All right, let's stay John 8:57.
Do you have any of them?
No, I'm back in Galatians.
Oh, okay.
And 8:57. Epon un hoi judaioi prosa pon. Then take unto ete upo eches. Kai Abraham eoraka Johnny.
Right. Then the Jews said to
Epon from to see
Paraos. Saw him.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, not so. I'm sorry. You said, did you say, it said unto him, yes, from Lego.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said? Said,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got you. I'm all confused.
Okay. Is that 50? Penta?
Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah, 50. Let's see. Penta.
Yeah,
50, yes.
Mm-hmm.
50 years. That day would be years.
You have 50 years?
Yeah, ukati, not yet, see?
Not yet, okay.
Yeah, ukati. You see, there's no upo. It's, similar, upo, not yet. Yeah, you are not yet. Upo, not They're not yet as good.
You're not. They have 50 and...
Mm-hmm. 50 years.
Ete. 50 years.
See, Ete, you have not yet 50 years. In other words, you're not yet 50 years old, is that it?
Mm-hmm. And you saw...
Or have seen...
Have seen
from
Abraham.
All right. This is from Harao. And what tense would that be, Bill? Haora.
Perfect.
Perfect tense, all right. You got a reduplication. Hell, what is the other symbol?
The
kappa. The kappa, all right, the kappa. P, kappa, pi, kappa, that's the fraternity. I guess pi, kappa, delta, they're all kinds of fraternity, but kappa is P for perfect, if you can remember that. And Apon, of course, is the heirist of Lego, that case, present. All right, any questions or comments on the first 57? All right, let's go to 58 then, Ruth.
58. Ephen autois ho Jesus. Amen, amen. Lego humin. Prin Abraham kenestai. Ego emi.
Is that the end? Yeah.
Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am.
All right. I am. Very definitely. Kenestai is what they're...
I think that is aorist, passive,
intensive. That's right, aorist, middle, actually. Yeah, because the other would be, have a theta eta somewhere, or a theta I or something. But it's the middle, it is the middle, it is a secondary tense of genomai, all right? And why is genestai in the infinitive? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you don't know that either, but the prin, you see, takes the infinitive. It's just one of those prepositions. Yeah, prin, before to be, see, before to come into be, before he was in existence, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And notice here, it's ego eimi, definitely I am. The am is right in the Greek text. I was talking to Dr. Rasmussen on the phone last evening, and he is looking up some things to answer the Bob Jones University monograph on the fact that God does not preserve the words of Scripture for us today, but merely the message of Scripture. So this is the line that they're teaching about in the university, which is very serious heresy in my judgment. It's getting really, the pot is really thickening. I have a article out there by a man by the name of Schneider, S-H-N-A-I-T-E-R, Schneider, it's called, but it's like, well, it's not the same as Schneider, regular spelling. And he's a professor there, and he's written his dissertation on this thing. Dr. Rasmussen is getting a copy of that dissertation, hopefully, that he can see the whole thing. But apparently, his whole dissertation was on this one theme.
Mm-hmm.
Then the latter part of this article that is reproduced in the Biblical Viewpoint, which is published by Bob Jones University. The head of the department, Neil, is there, Marshall Neil, who's the granddaddy of all the West Coast North people there. And then Custer is on the committee, and he's editor, I guess, of this Biblical Viewpoint. He's got all these men that are doing work and blasting the received text and exalting Westcott North. But one of the things he says in his introduction is that it's just the message of Scripture, not the words. Yes, I want to get there. It's called Biblical Viewpoint, Focus on Revelation. See, that's by the faculty of the School of Religion, Bob Jones University, editor Stuart Custer, Ph.D. Associate editors Marshall Neal, Ph.D., Robert D. Bell, editorial consultant Ronald Horton, Ph.D. Now, this article is page 68 and 69, and it's called Text for Criticism in the Modern English Version Controversy by Samuel E. Schneider, S-H-S-E-H-N-A-I-T-E-R. See? Yep.
With their Ph.D., do they have any, is that in, like, religion or something?
Probably religion,
it's not,
yeah.
Theology.
No, it's not theology, and they haven't got a real strong theological department there.
Part of the problem.
That may be part of the problem. They haven't really thought things through well enough. Of course, this is heresy, all that I'm saying here, as far as Bob Jones is concerned, but I'll say it anyway. You know, and to criticize them is just a horrible sin of beyond any measure. But here is what he says in the second paragraph of his article. The concern for the condition of God's Word revolves around the matter of God's providential preservation of the New Testament. This is a natural outgrowth from the doctrines that God has verbally inspired His Word. However, the presence of manuscript variations leads us to analyze more carefully the considerations of preservation into two categories. One, the preservation of the authoritative message of God, and two, the preservation of the precise wording of that message. And then he goes on and he says, such contenders note passages that promise that God's word shall never perish or be lost. That is, these contenders for the King James only advocacy, which I happen to be one of those. However, such promises of preservation in view of the wording variations can apply only to the message of God's word, not to its precise wording. In other words, its preservation cannot be to the precise wording, but only to the message. It is therefore reasonable to assume that God's providence is at work to preserve his revelation in spite of the minor variation in its wording, so on. To realize this should encourage fundamentalists to relax their concern over minor variations that do not affect teaching God's word, and renew their contention for the inerrancy and authority of the Bible. So this is what he's saying. There are two levels of preservation. One is the preservation of the authoritative message of God, the other the precise wording of that message.
But you don't believe as far as Mr. Ruckman does that God preserves the King James,
did you? No, I don't think that. He thinks that King James Version is inspired. They're infallible. No, but I do think it's the only version in the English language that preserves the accurately translated Masoretic traditional Hebrew text and the Textus Receptus Greek text. You know, that's the only one that accurately preserves in the English language the actual literal and then literary translation from those originals into English. So in that sense, it preserves what God has given us. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the manuscripts in the Hebrew and manuscripts in the Greek rather than in the English translation of it. But in that sense, it's preserved, you see what I mean? But it's not... I believe that God has given us his word, and we can go to the wording, and wording is important, see? It's not just his message. See, that's the thing, preservation of his message. He says, my word term.
Isn't there a place where it said, not of seed, but of seed? And
yes.
Words are not important.
Exactly right. Now, that's what Dr. Rasmus and I were discussing last evening. And, of course, that's Galatians 3 again. Galatians 3:16, just quoted on Abraham. It's right down to the point. He said, not to seeds as of many, but to thy seed, which was Christ. The very singular number there is important. That's Galatians 3:16, isn't it? And then he also, speaking of this before Abraham was I am, he turned over to Mark, I think it was Mark 12, something 52 or something along that line, where it says that, quoting, have you not read the scripture, you err. He's not the God of the dead or the living, because he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, the am is not in the Greek there. It's I, the God of some, but meaning I am, understood. The same with the Hebrew. I, Anoki, and then so on. It's not in Hebrew. I checked that last night. I went around the phone. And this here, it says, I am. It is. Ego eimi. It's meaning me is there. But obviously, he is the God of those who are still in existence. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of those three. See, right now, it's a present tense type of thing, and it's... He stresses that. And you err, therefore, not knowing the scriptures. He's not of the God of the dead, but of the living. So you see, just the tense. So there's lots of things. The words are very accurate. And I don't know what they're getting at. I don't know why they wanted to downplay this as far as applying only to the message of God's word. If that's message only, they're not concerned about how God's preserved his words, you know. Now, they may say, they may say that the words may be in different manuscripts, and you're not sure until you check all everything with a textual criticism type of technique, if they want to say that, but they're not even saying that. See, many, the one position, the West Gunner position is, no one can know the words of Scripture. They've all been lost somewhere because we just can't know. It's unknowable, see, absolutely unknowable. The position of, for instance, Dr. Ruckman may say, may be that the texts are, and we have them here, and that's it. See, well, and from the textual standpoint, I think that's probably been my position as far as by faith. See, that the best texts that we have are the Textus Receptus for the Greek New Testament and the Masoretic Hebrew text for the Old. And if there are other you know, in the manuscripts we have, God's word has been preserved in those manuscripts. It's a question of if we want to open up and unlock it and then argue about which is and which isn't. But it's got to, we got to believe that it's been preserved. He promised to preserve it. In Psalm 12:6, what does Psalm 12:6 and 7 say about the preservation of his words?
Well, the Mormons say that's why they had to get the Book of Mormon, because the Bible has been corrupted through
years. Is that one of the reasons they're saying?
Yes.
All
right. And Bob Jones agreeing with
it. Yes. That's the dilemma. What does it say?
The words of the Lord are pure words, a silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever.
From this generation forever. God's preserving. And of course, in 1 Peter 1:22, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There's so many different promises, see, and the preservation.
Thy words,
forever thy word is settled in heaven, for example.
Yeah, heaven and earth shall pass away,
yes,
by
my words. That's right. And also, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word, see? Every word. The word is so much important. And you read Burgon on page 89, I think it is, of his Inspiration and Interpretation, which I read to Dr. Rasmussen over the phone. He says every paragraph, every chapter, every syllable, yea, every letter of is God's own Holy Spirit's words that he's given to us. And he... See, what good does it do for us to have a plenary, verbal, infallible, inerrant inspiration at the beginning, and then break down the preservation to only thought and concept and message? Now that's what they're doing. They're starting supposedly with words and ending up with thoughts only. That's what the message means.
Now there's a few minor, not corrections, but a few minor points in the King James. Maybe it's just the wording or something, or we were talking about last year or something about how they didn't use the word baptize,
mm-hmm,
because they may have been prejudiced because
they transliterated by
right.
Instead of translate. See,
right. Now words, that's well, right. That's not maybe a good example.
Well, that's,
of what
a, that's but, one thing. It's a minor situation.
Right, but there's a few minor things, yeah, in there.
Right.
But that's why I don't think you can say
it's not inspired.
Yeah, right.
That's because inspired means that it seems to imply that God, in that instance, inspired the words as it translated in the translating process, which we never have any scripture for that at all. The originals, yes, we do have scripture, but not the translation of it.
Yeah.
But is an accurate translation of God's inspired and inerrant word. And as I told you maybe last week, I've been studying the NIV in the mornings, you know, during my Bible study time early in the morning, and taping. I've got one whole 2-hour cassette finished of the Genesis 1:1 through 7:22 of Genesis on the NIV, the New International Version. Oh, how corrupt, how absolutely, utterly corrupt, how untrustworthy, you know, and how faithful and how precise and how exacting is the King James Version compared to the Hebrew, it's a revelation. I wish I had many lives to do. I don't know how I'm going to handle it because I can't get every verse. But in this 1 year, that's what my project was for the morning study, you know. And I think what I'll do, I'll just go until I get out of Genesis, when the 85 verse sections leave Genesis, and go into Exodus. And I'll stop wherever I end up in Genesis. I'll go to Exodus and just take a little sampling there. And then whenever the days, you know, 85 verses get out of there, so that way I'll pace myself through the entire Old Testament. And New Testament, I suppose, too. But you can't beat the King James for accuracy and precision. And then there are their textual marginal notes about how about this Hebrew means this literally here and literally there, which shows that they know the whole situation. Well, before Abraham was I am, that I guess I got sidetracked a little bit on that. But this I am is similar to Abraham, Isaac, and God. Joseph. I'm all right now. Okay, pardon that, Rob. We'll have to speed ahead. Now, where were we?
8:59.
Okay. Right ahead, is it Ruth?
John 8:59. Euran un lithus in a balosin epauton. Jesus de ecrube kai expelten ectu kiaru de elton dia mesu auton kai paregen putos.
By the way, before Abraham was I am, that's a recollection of what? What portion of Scripture? To Moses. That's right. The Lord himself in Exodus chapter 3, in verse 8. And for Abraham was I am. That's a deity, isn't it? And they knew it was deity. All right, go right ahead in verse 59.
Okay. Therefore,
they realized that was a claim to deity, that he was God Almighty, the Lord himself. And Aaron is from idol, you see, to lift up, to take up. It's the heiress of idol. And it's third plural.
See, therefore,
they took up or lifted up.
Yeah, took up stones in order they might throw at
mm-hmm.
him.
Or, that's right, throw at him, cast at him.
But Jesus.
That could be from crypto. It's the second aorist passive. He was hid. He absolutely was hidden from them.
Jesus was hidden from them.
Oh, I didn't say from them, but he was hidden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we trapped that he hid himself. Well, that's all right, but he hid himself, he was hidden. It's very close to the middle in the passive and meaning many times.
And
ex Erchemai, it says, Elphin.
And he came Erichem. Out.
Mm-hmm. Came out or went out?
Of the temple.
Mm-hmm. Same verb, almost, except it's the Elphon instead of exon.
Oh, he came through.
Mm-hmm. And this is Elphon, which would be your participle, present participle from here.
Coming through.
Yeah, coming through.
The
Emeso, that's in the midst.
In the midst
of them. Middle
of them.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Argos to go and para to the sides. He sidestepped them. He went to the side of them. He got out. He escaped them, I guess we might say. Par Hagon. At the end of that thing, right? Thus. He stepped aside thus, or he escaped thus, or passed on thus, and thus in this manner, in other words. All right. We've taken up. I'll just go ahead with the verbs there. Elphon is, of course, the heiress of Exerchemai. Aaron is the heiress of Idol. He took up these stones. They took up, rather. And Balosin is the heiress of Balo, because he had just the one lamba. See? So you see, it's a different root and subjunctive. And then Akrube, we've said, is a second heiress passive of Crypto. Cryptographic messages and cryptography, you see, hid to hide, hidden things. Exelfin, of course, also second heiress of Erchemai, and D. Elphon, also second heiress of D. Erchemai. Par Egan, heiress also Par Ago. Any other questions of that? He used his supernatural abilities, undoubtedly, to just get out of there. They were going to kill him, see. The Lord was not yet ready for him to die. Calvary had not yet come. And powerful. And several times they wanted to throw him off a cliff one time. You know, he just still passed right out. See, he was hidden from them. See, hidden from them. And I'm sure it was providential. Nobody could have gotten him if he was not his father's will, could they? Even at the cross. No one could have kept him there. No one could have nailed him at the cross. He could have had power to do, but he gave himself a voluntary substitute and willing substitute in the offering for our sin. All right, any other question on 59? All right, chapter 9, verse 1.
John, chapter 9. John 9, 1. Kai paragon eden anthropon tiflon ek genete. John?
Okay.
And passing by, he saw a man blind from birth.
Okay. Ek genetes, from birth. And paragon, that's the same as paragon, isn't it? And passing on or going through, as in the previous verse, passed on and passing on, as he was passing on, we might say, he saw that. Okay, any questions further than one? All right, verse 2, Bill.
9:2. Kai erotesan auton, hoi matetai autu, legontes, rabbi, tes hemarten, putos e hoi gonet autu, hena tyflos genete.
All right. And his disciples asked him?
Yeah, erotaho. Okay. And we're asking him. Well, I guess asking him, that was Aristotle, right? It's not erotaho.
Asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This one?
Mm-hmm, this one.
This one.
A or Agonis, the like Genomai is the relative, his relatives, his parents.
Okay. This one or his parents. That
Genethei. And this is the full fledged verb of Genao, which is to be born. See, it says double new. See, it's not Genomai, to become, but it actually was born. So it's first aorist passive subjunctive, that he was born
blind.
Plus, blind. Okay? That's right, was born blind. All right, we've gone over it. Hamartin, I guess, now that's the aorist, second aorist of Hamartano, legantes participle of lego, erotison, first aorist of erotao, and genete, first aorist passive subjunctive, kenao, to be born. Any other questions on that one? All right, Ruth, 9:3, please, John.
John, 9:3. Apekrete ho Jesus, ute putos, hemarten, ute hoi gones, autu. Au hena panerothe, ta erga, tu theu, en auto.
All right.
Jesus answered, neither this one sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him.
All right, and hey, Martin, of course, repeating the aorist, I forget the aorist passive, and Panarothe, the aorist passive also might be made manifest. Aorist passive subjunctive of Panerao. The works of God. Any other questions on three? All right, so it was for the glory of God. It wasn't for the question of sin to assign the blame, was it? Verse 4, then.
John 9:4. Emes de ergadzestai ta erga tu femstantos me. Heos hemera estin.
All right.
But I work...
And they,
I must work.
Mm-hmm.
The works.
Now notice how the Greek puts it there. They is an impersonal verb, third person singular, deo. It is necessary. It is binding for me, eme, to work. See, it is binding. It is necessary that I work. And of course, after day, you always have the subject of day, you might say, or in a sense, in the accusative, MF. That's why it is necessary for me, to work. Of course, the subject of an infinitive so-called, that's why it's MF. Here's your infinitive. That's why it is necessary to work, and then MF, that I work, as seemingly a subject in the accusative to go with infinitive. All right, go ahead, Bill.
The works of the one sending me.
Well, who sent me? All right. Time's up. That's Eric's
guy. What's
that? Is until or while or during the time that
has been here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's until, but as long as it's day, while it's day, while also.
Okay. So the day is.
That's the finish to that sentence. Is that the end of that?
Yes.
Okay. So, Pemstantosma, aorist participle. I got this from Gadzo Mine, and that's the present middle infinitive, isn't it? Gadzo Mine. Of regards to my, all right, come to place. All right, go ahead, Ruth, on 5, 9, 5,
please. Ask it, Nix, what, Udes, do not I, regards this time.
Huh. Bill, that's yours still. Pardon me.
Oh, is it?
I think so, yeah, go ahead. Ask it, Nix.
Okay, to go
the night
comes when no one is able to work.
That's right. No one is able to work. That's right. Okay, Ruth on 9-5, please.
John, 9-5. Hotan ento cosmo o pos ami ki cosmo.
Okay, Ruth, that's a long one.
Being in the world, I am the light of the world.
I am. See, O is the subjunctive. I am. First thing.
Why
after hotan, see. In other words, it's whenever I am in or however long I am in the world, see. I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, in other words, that's it. So O would be I am. See, the regular first single subjunctive. Present. Okay, any other questions or comments on that one? 6. Or 5. All right, Bill, 6, please. John, 9-6.
John, 9-6. Kata epon heptise kamai, kai epoiese pelon, ectu ismatos, kai epestrise ton pelon, epitus ophthalmus, tu to flu. John?
All right. After he said these things.
Okay.
From a poem, which would be Eris, of Lego. Ptusa. That's to spit. He spit from. Ptuo. That's an onomatopoetic word, I'm sure.
What's
the word spittoon, I think. That's an onomatopoetic word, too. Mm-hmm. All right, Bill. He says, Kamai. That would be, he spit, I guess it's on clay, isn't it? Let me see.
On ground, maybe?
The ground, yeah, that's the ground. Kamai.
Mm-hmm. On ground. And?
The panel is a clay, all right.
And made?
Yep, that's Krista.
Made of clay.
Out
of the spittle.
Mm-hmm.
And
Becker said, Creo is to anoint and to apply. See, he applied, that you might say, he put on the pelon epitus of famus.
Okay, and put on the clay on top of the.
Or upon the eyes.
On the eyes of the blind one.
Mm-hmm, the blind man.
And said to him.
Is that the end of the verse?
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So the mind now. Okay. So this is 6. Eptusen is the aorist of tuo. Epoisen aorist of poyao. Epithaken. Epitithemi aorist also. That's from another text, apparently, they have that instead of ekrisa, which is aorist, I guess, of epicreo, I guess, or. Creo to anoint, I believe, is the word. So to anoint or to apply, in that sense, the clay.
What do you mean, yeah. Different text?
Well, there's a text, the Westcott and Hort, I think, have the word Ephesekan, which is Ephesekan.
It is over in verse 15, Ephesekan.
Verse 15, yes. I guess
yes, when he speaks about what the Lord did.
Right. So this is at the Creed of Ephesekan, so that's the difference. Let me see if I get the, yeah, applied. There's an X footnote here in my text here. There'll be an X. No, I don't. Let's see, but that's, I think, where they got that for a different text. But this epicrisis anointed or applied the clay to the eyes. Any questions on that? His means, he could have just touched his eyes, but he used means, didn't he, with the clay and the spittle and put them on. There's something he did. Power of God, certainly, and the miracle of God healed him. All right, verse 7, please.
Line 7. Kai apan auto, hupage nipsai, estain kalum bethran, tu siloam, ha hermeneuetai, apestamenos, apelten un kai enipsata, kai elte blepon.
A lot in there.
And he said to him, go off, go away, and bathe in the pool of Siloam, which is being interpreted sent. Sent one, I suppose that should be, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess sent or having sent, something like that.
He went and bathed himself and came seen.
All right. So we have in 7, 8, and of course, heirs, lego hupage, imperative, present imperative, hupago, continue to go, keep going, nipsai, heirs, the middle imperative, nipto, in other words, go, wash. See, that's an imperative, actual imperative. Go wash yourself, actually, because it's a middle. Wash yourself, by yourself, for yourself, in the pool, and then hermeneuetai, the present passive indicative of hermeneuo, which is interpreted. Apostamenos is the present passive participle of apostello, so which has been interpreted having been sent, I guess, or being sent, I guess it would be being sent because it's present. Apelthen, second aorist of Aperthmai, Enipsata, aorist middle of Nipto, he washed for himself, or washed himself in Elthen, aorist of Erchemai, Blepon, present participle, of course, of Blepon. So I think that pretty well takes care of a lot of verbs in that one. Any questions or comments on 7? Alright, let's go on to 9:8, please.
John 9:8. Hoi un getones, kai hoi theoruntes auton, ta proteron, hati tuflas ein, elegon uch hutrasestin, ha kathemenos, kai prosaiton.
Alright.
Therefore, the, what is that? Gatoness.
The ones, the neighbors, the ones close by.
The neighbors and the ones seeing him.
Seeing him, that is the proper on the before, the one before.
Seeing him before, the one before, that was blind, that was on there.
You saw him before, that is the one that was blind, see. That was before blind. See, they got them mixed all in together. No,
they said, this is not.
It's a question that expects one answer then, Bill. Ruth has a memory hand. Give it to her.
No, let me think.
All right, let me think. All right,
okay, yeah. This expects a no answer.
Ruth, do you want to remember?
I guess that's just OU for we.
We, I
should
think
of that. We, yes. Okay.
I've never really French, and that throws me off.
That's a good memory hand.
Okay.
So expressed an answer, yes. It's certainly true, isn't it? That, go ahead.
That, or, that this is not...
This is probably true, because they want a yes answer on C.
Okay. But this is the one... what's copy?
From Kathimai to Y down as present middle partial. The one who is, I guess...
I thought it was sitting.
Well, it could be sitting, yes. Sitting down. Kathimai. Kathimai...
I'm thinking
of is to sit, yes. It probably copy. Many times it's lying, and sometimes it's sitting. The way they sat was a line. They inclined a little bit. So it's really sometimes both, depends on the context. Sitting, if you wish.
Right.
Inclining.
And what's prosaiton?
Asking.
And asking.
Prosaiton for my title to inquire. Sitting and begging. So he was begging. So he asked me. Pardon me?
I said, is that on?
Yes, that's understood there, that he's probably asking for alms, but there's no word for alms, and that's just the begging. But pros, see, iton pros, asking to someone, see, therefore, with his hand up, begging. See, it's a good word for begging. He was sitting and begging, yes, he was sitting and begging, this man that was blind, blind beggar. Any other questions on that? Was 8, or was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, at 8, Theruntas from Theorao, the present active participle there, Ain, imperfect of Amy, Elegon, imperfect of Lego, Kathemenos, present middle participle of Kathemai, Prosaiton, present participle of Prosaiteo. So these words are, he's in bad shape, this blind man, before the Lord got a hold of him. And it says, certainly true, isn't it? This was the one that was sitting there and begging. Answer expected was yes, that's true. All right, any questions further on that one? All right, 9-9, please, sir.
John, 9-9. Alloy elegon hati utos estin. Alloy de hati homoios auto estin. Akenos elegon hati ego eimi.
All right.
Some
were saying, this is. Others, he understood. Mm-hmm.
But others, he is like him.
Mm-hmm.
That one was saying, I am.
Mm-hmm. He understood. Mm-hmm. I am. He, I'm the one. All right. Too many verbs in that one. Elegon, imperfect of Lego, he was saying. All right. Question on that. Homoios again, like him. Like him. Not the same as he, but like him. All right, Bill, verse 10.
John 9:10. Elegon un auto pos aneoch thesan su hoi afamoi. John.
Okay.
Therefore, they said to him, how...
I know.
Are your eyes soon opened?
Yes, opened. Yeah. It's from an oigo. An oigo is the first aorist passive of an oigo. An oigo, to open. An oigo. Is that the end of the verse? Okay, how were the eyes open?
So.
All right, elegant, imperfect, they were saying to you. Any other questions on 9. Okay, verse 10. Ruth, is it 10 or 11?
11, yes. 9, 11. Mm-hmm. Atekrithe ekenos kai epen anthropos legomenos Jesus pelon et poese kai epechriste mu tus ophthalmus kai epe moi kupage estein columbethan tu siolam kai nipsai apelphon de Kai nipsamenos aneblepsa.
All right.
That one answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eye and said to me, go into the pool of Siloam and bathe yourself. I went, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And bathing. Is that
the having gone and having washed. These are my synoptic errors, huh?
I saw again.
I received mercy. Okay. So, Pekrithe, first aorist passive of Krenomai, Legomenos, present passive participle Lego, Epoiasen is the aorist, Poio, Epekrisen, Epikrio, first aorist, and Epen is the aorist of Lego, Hupaga, imperative, present imperative, Hupago, and Nipsai, the first aorist, middle imperative of Nipto, with wash yourself, Apelphone, second aorist, participle of Aperkamai and Nipsamanos, first there is middle participle of Nipto. So it's wash for yourself, wash by yourself, and wash yourself. On Eplipsa, first there is Anabuppo. A lot of verbs in
that. Is that having gone and having washed, I saw again.
Verse 11, let's see here, where are we? Apelphone, yes. Having
received some.
Yeah, having gone, that was mean, having
that
what? I would think literally, yeah, we'd say in the. After I had gone and after I had washed, you know, in literal kind of a loose, having gone, so I came saying, see the I from aneblepsa, I received my sight after having gone and after having washed myself. Yeah, I think that would be probably a temporal participle.
Mm-hmm. This pool of Siloam,
right there in the temple area.
There was another, I don't know if this is the same pool that...
Pool Bethesda.
Okay, with a few weeks ago I said...
Yeah, that's John 5. Huh?
Okay, now, was there any particular, like, pagan religion that they used to go down and think they used to get healed? Or would the
Lord... Well, apparently that was part of the Lord's grace to the people of Jerusalem, and they did use that. The angel moving of the waters and so on. The West Coast Hortex leave that out, John 5, 3 and 4, but it's got excellent support. And nothing out of the ordinary with that. That was apparently God's way of healing. The first one when the angel came down, a special messenger of God to move the waters. Now that could have been a superstition, possibly. But on the other hand, it is in the text, you know, that we have. And
does it say that it happened or that they believed it happened?
Well, John 5:3, I believe it is it not? 3 and 4. Angelus, for our angel, according to Ephesians, went down, verse 4, into the pool and troubled the water. And therefore, the first one having gone and stepped into the troubling waters, he would be well, so he'd be made whole. Now, I don't know from the context whether that's a legend or that's a belief or that's actually what's true or happened. Anyway, it could have been just an old wives' tale. I don't know. But all I know is that is in the text. See, and that's probably why Oscar and her people took it out, because they didn't think it was pertinent. You know, like a lot of things. So they left it out. A lot of these correctors, as they went along through the scriptures, just got excellent support.
They thought it was just superstition?
Well, that's my own guess. I don't know. They never say that. But I suppose they thought, well, we don't need this in here. And so they just left the thing out. They probably didn't think it met with their mental... test, you know, for the Word of God, so that it's lucky. But it's got good background. It doesn't really say, Ruth, that's a good question as to whether this was a true thing or whether that was just what they believe. It just says an angel came down and moved. Well, it seems like it's a declarative, indicative type sentence rather than subjunctive or optative. So that would be a pretty well solid thing. Does that answer that, Bill?
There'd be no precedent for that. Anywhere else,
as far as this pool here,
right? I mean, far as this type
like,
of
healing of Lord,
yeah, healing
of
water, anything
yeah,
like that.
More, no, I don't think so, because a lot of people, you know, they use that, don't they?
No,
down the pool.
That's why I thought maybe it was just a pagan type ritual, or you know, that Satan may have used, you know, to.
In this particular place here?
No, I know this was the Lord here.
Oh, I thought back in an angel moving in John 5, you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I just was just curious.
I don't know either. I
probably not.
Yeah.
Lord didn't dispute that. He didn't say, "Now this is of the devil, and he shouldn't be here, and get out of here." Mm-hmm. He went ahead and ministered to that man who was waiting for troubling the Lord. And I say, I don't know how the Lord, he works in many ways different in the Lord's day than he does today. And in the Old Testament, that he does today. He did many different things.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if you talk about that cloud coming over and guiding and moving, you see, something's wrong here. Because he doesn't do that today. But it could have been very well that this would have been part of the...
Just another miracle type.
Yeah, it wasn't the Our Lady Fatima or anything. It was just... it could be, as I say, I wouldn't be dogmatic on it, but I think that we have to be open on that.
Okay.
Any other thoughts on that? All right, let's go to the next verse, please.
John 9:12. Epon un auto puestin ekenos lege un corda.
Is that it? Yeah, I guess that's it.
Mm-hmm. Therefore they said to him, where is that one?
Mm-hmm. Or he?
He
says, like it.
Yeah, okay. He says, I know not.
Right. I don't know. Any questions on that one? Where is he? I don't know where he is, the blind man said. Verse 13, ready, Ruth?
John 9:13. Agosin auton prostus pharisaeus ton pote tuflon.
They are leading him before the Pharisees. The
one
formerly blind?
Mm-hmm. The one-time blind man. The old blind, the one formerly blind, the former blind. All right, and now we'll see, of course, present from Lago. Any question on 13?
Verse 14, I guess, was it?
John 9:14. Ein de sabbaton hote ton pelon epoisen ho Jesus kai an eroxen autu tus ophthalmus.
All right.
But it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay,
mm-hmm.
and
on Oigo, to open up.
Oh, okay. And open up his eyes.
All right, opened up his eyes. All right, and here's his eyes. It's the eyes, but it's his. The article used as a personal pronoun, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, poiesen, of first aorist of poieo. On eoxen, first aorist active of on Oigo. The on eox, the xi, is a sigma in there. See, hidden, so you know it's first aorist. That's xi. Mon oig. Go. Put the G, the gamma, and the sigma together. It's X. See, oix. So that's your heirs. All right, Ruth, 15, please.
John 9:15. Palin un eroton auton kai hoi farisaioi. Tos aneblepsen hode epen autois pelon epetheken epitus aphromus mu kai enipsame kai blepo.
All right. Is it Ruth?
I think something's been left out of it.
Did I didn't read it all? No.
I don't think so, unless I didn't. Did you follow
it? No.
Okay, fine. Okay, go ahead, Ruth.
Then they were saying to him, again, they were asking him.
Also
the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that two sets of people asking him, or is it just the Pharisees?
Probably even the Pharisees, maybe. Okay. Something like that.
How did you see again?
Or just maybe Kai would go with the before. In other words, the Kai gets taken the first ascent. And again, therefore, the Pharisees were asking him. So, you know, just the one set. Go ahead, pardon me.
How he saw again.
How he received his sight, right? Mm-hmm.
But he said to them, he placed clay on my eye and... I washed myself, I bathed myself, and I am seeing.
All right. So 15, eroton imperfect of erotao, aneblepsen, the first heirs of aneblepo, abethekan, first heirs of epitithemi, and then epi, and nip, and Psamein, the first heiress of Nipto. So he washed himself in the high sea. He knew how it happened. He knew exactly what happened, didn't he? Any other questions on that one or comments? All right, Bill, verse 16.
John 9:16. Elegon un ekton pharisaion tenes hutos ha anthropos ukesten para tu theou hotitos sabaton u tere alloi elegon pos dunatai anthropos amatolos toyauta semea poein.
Therefore said some of the Pharisees.
We're saying elegon is imperfect, you know, if you just get the, okay, instead of apon, just to get a little flavor there of the imperfect.
We're saying,
said it all right, but
man is not from God. That.
Because, in this case, it's hati is because.
Because the Sabbath.
Tereo is to keep.
That's right. Let's see, because the Sabbath is not kept.
He is not keeping.
He's not keeping.
Mm-hmm. He's not keeping the Sabbath.
They, would that be like they were said?
Others were saying.
Others, okay. Others were
Alloy.
Saying.
Mm-hmm.
How is this man able to.
What kind of man is the Hamar? The lost man, Anthropa. It's a sinner man.
Okay.
Right? How is this man, who is a sinner?
Sinful man, able to.
Poein toyauta semea.
Some kind of sign.
To do
some kind of
these kinds of signs, such signs or miracles.
Such signs, okay.
All right, that would be 16 on the Tere, from Terejo, present active. Dunatai, of course, is able to, from dunamai, to a present passive indicative. Of course, it's a form of verb. Poein, present infinitive of poieo. And I guess that's how is he able to do all these things? A man, a sinner. A man being a sinner. A man who is a sinner, understood, through these things. Notice dunatai also is a third person, is an impersonal verb, like dao. It is necessary that someone do this. So this is the same way. How is he able? See, a man, how is he able? How can he? All right, any other questions on 16? All right, Ruth 17, please.
Kai schisma ein en our choice. John 9:17.
Oops. All right, go ahead, Ruth.
Want me to go from schisma?
Is that the one?
That must be.
I guess that's it.
That longer 16.
Oh, my. Okay, go ahead with that. I'm sorry.
And there was a division in them.
Mm-hmm, and they were among them, all right. Schism, that's a good word.
Have you gone through 17 yet?
No, I guess not. This is yours, isn't it?
Schisma, ein en autois.
17.
John 9:17.
All right, well, you have 17.
Legusi to tuflo palin si. Si leges peri autu. Hati.
That's it, isn't it? Is it
Noem? All
right, I think that's it, Ruth.
They were saying to they were saying to the blind.
Blind man.
What are you saying concerning him that opened your eyes?
That opened your eyes?
But he said
but or and
that he is a prophet.
Alright. So that's 17. Legus in present active of Lego, Leges present of Lego. In Elksen, first heirs of An Oigo. And what are you gonna say about this man? Are you gonna give any testimony? He said, well, he's a prophet, that's what he thinks. Any questions on that? He has revelation little by little, doesn't he, this blind man? All right, next verse, please, Bill.
John 9:18. Ukepistosan un hoi iudaioi peri autu hoti tu flos ein kai aneblepsen heos hotu efoneson tus gones autu to anabrexantos.
Is that it? I think so. Go ahead.
Therefore, the Jews did not believe concerning him, because
I think in this case it's that.
Oh, okay.
Taught to you.
It's hard to know until you read the whole thing.
Yeah.
That the blind
one
was
that he was blind. See.
Okay. He was blind, and sight as a to look up or something like that.
And all, this is Anna over again, a blackboard to see again. He said he saw again or received his sight. He regained his sight. See.
Okay.
He resaw.
Is that however?
House until.
Okay.
Usually until house. I don't know until.
Until. Where is
that's
it?
Until sort of goes with the house until really house hotu. It's up until the point that it means all together until the hotis hotu
until when
I guess that's like hotan, you see, hotan. I think until when, till such time as when.
Okay, his parents something.
They called
his parents. The parents of him, his parents, of the one seen.
On having received his sight, or having seen again, if you wish.
First, okay.
He must be born again. Here he must be seeing again. The Anna, same Anna again.
Right.
Actually, see, this is a very accurate translation of Anna. He must be born again. See, Anna. A new life, a new birth, genao, genamai, genao. So and then they say, well, isn't this, you must be born from above instead of born again. Well, you see, these have sight from above. See, ana does mean above, but also means again, see, another time. And so that's a very good translation. I wouldn't change it to born from above, as some have said, just like here, the ana here is again, another time, like ana blanco. Ana genosco is to read, see. Ana genosco, to know again. Just know again by reading. So it's a good translation. Any other questions on this? Is 18, isn't it? Epistelson, first heirs to Pistello, Aneplepsen, first heirs to Aneplepo, and Phonesan, first heirs to Phoneo. All right, Aneplepsantos, first heirs participle of Aneplepo. So it takes care of the verbs. All right, if not, let's go on to 19.
John 9:19. Kai erotesan autus legontes, hutosestin hahuios humon, hon humes legate, hati tuflos, agenethe, pos un arti blepe. John 9:20.
Oh, just a minute.
Pos un arti blepe.
Okay, go ahead.
And they asked them, saying, it is true, isn't it, that this is your son whom you are saying that he was born blind? How therefore is he now seeing? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. How now therefore, or how therefore is he now seeing? Mm-hmm. How therefore just now does he see? Is that the end of that verse?
I believe.
All right, that's 19. Erotesan, of course, the aorist of erotao, similar to what we've had before, legantos from lego, present participle, legate, present of lego, genete, first aorist passive of genao, to be born. How is he? We know he was born in blepe, present of blepo. All right, any questions further on 19 or comments? They wanted to get the parents to make some admissions, didn't they? All right, 9:20 is it, I guess, Bill?
John 9:20. Apokritheson autois hoi gones autu kai epon oidomen hoti hutosestin hohuios hemon kai hoti tuflos agenethe.
All right.
His parents answered them and said,
wait a minute. From where to where?
Oh, I have to say, wait a minute.
No, I said, wait a minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute. It looks like, wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. Go ahead.
What did you say it was?
Wait a minute. We know.
Yeah, okay. We know that this is...
Or he is this one, or he okay. is, all right?
He is your son, and that he was born blind.
All right, that's in right there, then. For 20. Apocrythesan, first heiress, passive of apocrynomai, oidomen, perfect of oida. And any questions further on that one? 21.
John 9:21. Post de nun blepe, uk oidomen, a tis enoixen, autu tus ophthalmus, hemes uk oidomen, autos. Helikian, eche, auton, erotesate, autos, peri autu, lalese.
Okay.
But how he is now seen, we do not know. Who?
Or who? Mm-hmm. A.
or who?
Mm-hmm.
Opened his eyes. We do not know. We are not known.
Mm-hmm.
He has fully...
Notice the emphasis on the we, see. We are not. It was by his presence. We don't know. But I said knew all along.
He has full age. Ask him. He will speak concerning himself.
Okay. He will speak for himself concerning himself. that's 21, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Ein oixen, first aorist of anoigo, erotesate, first aorist active imperative, erotao, so ask him, imperative, eche, present of echo, lalese, is future of laleo. He will speak, future tense of laleo. Any questions further on 21? All right.
John 9:22. Hata ipon hoi gones autu, Hati effabunta tus Judaeus, edegar sunetithenta hoi Judaeoi, hina eantis auton homologese Christon, apa synagogos genetai.
All right.
His parents said these things that.
Hachi, no, not
because.
No, that's because it's time.
Okay. Because they feared.
Mm-hmm. They feared.
The
they were afraid.
For.
Hating already.
For already. The Jews. Sun
etithinta is the pluperfect passive of sun tithemi, to place together where they agreed. See, they got it to place together, they agreed, came to an agreement on.
In order that if, or I guess if,
homologeo, you can worry about that. That's to confess.
To confess. Okay, that if. I'm trying to get a tis in here.
Or anyone. Tis is anyone.
They would confess him.
Or might confess him.
Might confess him Christ.
To be the Christ, understood. To be Christ.
Yes, to be Christ. Let's come together or something.
It's in 22 in the end. Let's see.
Apo
synagogue. See, they would de-synagogize him. See, they would What does our word for excommunicate? Yes, sir. The apo meaning away from the synagogue. They put him away from the synagogue. And genitai, of course, they would, he would be disfranchised, dismembered, not dismembered in the literal sense, but disenfranchised, excommunicated. That's the idea. Okay. That was 22, wasn't it? Fabunta is the imperfect passive of Fabaomai, and they were fearing. See, they were fearing. And Sunatethinta, pluperfect passive of Sunatethime, they agreed soon together. They agreed together. They placed themselves together in agreement, understood. And Homologese is aorist of Homologeo. And genetai is second aorist middle subjunctive of genomai. So these are the verbs there. Any questions on that? Anyone that confessed Christ or confessed that he was Christ, anyone confessed him to be Christ, as Christ, you might say, would be put out of the synagogue. Any questions on that one further? Testimony counted there. They really... did something if you had anything to do with Christ. The Orthodox Jews today have to make a very serious thing of it, don't they? All right, next verse, please.
John 9:3. Diatuto ha gones autu apon hati helikian eche auton erotesate. John?
Excuse me.
Because of this, his parents said, he has full age, ask him.
All right. Eke, he has from echo, and eperotesate, erist indicative or imperative, in this case it's imperative of eperotao. So ask him, he's of age, and they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They weren't willing to, was he willing to be put out of the synagogue? Blind man. To see that he was, but the parents weren't ready. They didn't have this great miracle wrought on their lives, so they didn't want to testify of him, but he was willing to testify because of this miracle in his own life he'd seen. All right, next verse, please.
9:24. Ephoneson un ek deuteru ton anthropon hos ein to flos kai epon auto dos doxon to theo hemes oidomen hoti ha anthropos putos hamartolos estin.
All right.
Therefore,
ek deuteru, out of the second time, or for a second time.
Therefore, the second time.
Ephonizon.
What's that?
They asked, oh. Or they said, I guess, omphonao, to say, speak. Or asked, speak, yes. A speaker said, or something like that, as a verb to be, to speak.
The man who was blind,
mm-hmm.
And said to him.
Or they called, just from phone out, to make a noise and call. Said to him. Das is from didumi, it's imperative. Aorist imperative, didumi. Give. Doxon.
Glory.
Glory.
To God.
Mm-hmm.
We saw. No,
so we know. It's similar to Adam and Ado, Adon, idolatry. We see, therefore we know. That's where Oida comes from. It's from see, but it is used in we know.
Yeah. We know that this man is a sinner.
Is a sinner, okay. It's our last verse for the night. Ephonison, they called, or Phonao, the aorist. There, and Dos is the imperative aorist of Dinomi. Give God the glory. So they really liked the Lord, didn't they? They certainly didn't, those Pharisees, blind as they were.
Poor blind man gave a hard time, didn't he?
Yes. And some of these new converts can put the old converts to shame many times in their boldness to confess the Lord. And shouldn't be so, but it quite often is. We've many times left our first love long before those who are just recently saved. All right, let's turn to our Dane and Manning for this evening. First, it's number 172 page up through 172 through 180. All right, we're in the optative mood, and optative comes from Latin meaning what?
Choose.
To choose or to wish. All right, and it's the strong contingency, the mood of strong contingency, the mood of possibility. As you notice on page 170 at the top, the subjunctive is the mood of mild contingency, the mood of probability. And notice it presents action as conceivable. Hence, it's one step farther removed from reality than the subjunctive. Oh, that it might be, see. And it's removed completely from that. So in the footnotes, the small print, past contingency, we'll go into number two. Optative is little used in dependent clauses in Sanskrit. It's displaced the subjunctive. It's the chief potential mood. Then the different types of optatives. Now, there are very few used. If you notice on the top of page 174, he says there's only 15 in the whole New Testament. 14 of the 15 are used in Paul's writing. So it's very little used expression. But the voluntative, of course, expressing a wish. Ahada kurios katothunai himon tas kardias. May the Lord guide your heart. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And that he has a wish that the Lord may direct your hearts, guide your hearts, and into the patient waiting for Christ, I believe is the context there. Then the phrase, top of 174, the me genoito, is an optative, wishing that the suggestion that's previously announced may not be, see, may it not be. God forbid is what we translated. And King James is translated, God forbid, many times. In other words, may this not be. It's certainly not going to come to pass. So wish. And the second, the potential optative, several instances, tian theloi legain, what would he wish to say? Theloi, say theloi. That omicron iota is one of the signals for the optative. Usually has an omicron in it. See, omicron iota, actually, those two letters express fully the example of what would he wish to say if he could say anything. See, the potential optative, what would he wish to say? Then the deliberative optative, as she was pondering what manner of salutation this might be, Luke 1:29, dialogizito, potopos, see, what it might be, what manner of salutation it might be, aspasmos, utos. So, this is the deliberative to what it might be, deciding what it is. Any questions on these optatives? Very little used term in the New Testament. All right, let's go to the imperative then. That's the mood of command or entreaty, the mood of volition, will, strong orders, and so on. First to note, good reason to suppose that the imperative, which is the youngest of the moods, arose sort of like an interjection. Dauro means hither, and it means really come here. And then the second one, don't bother with this fine print there. Now let's go to the imperative of command. First of all, there are four imperatives. My voice, hope I can continue to talk. The imperative of command, of course, is the usual one. Matthew 5:44, agapate. Tus echthus humon, love your enemies. That's just a regular command like we normally have in a positive sense. The second imperative prohibition, that's a negative. Ego eimi me phobeste. It is I, be not afraid. John 6:20. What action is prohibited here with the negative prohibition with phobeste?
What action?
Mm-hmm. The verb being phobaomai, isn't it? Phobaomai.
Fearing.
Mm-hmm. And what is the force? What tense is phobeste? Phobaomai, phobeste.
Phobaomai. Because of the
stigma? No, that's the stigma because of the infinitive. See, it's the middle infinitive or the middle passive infinitive. Phobeste. That would be just the regular present, would it not? All right, it says stop being afraid, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So that's the force of that in prohibition. Let me just be sure of for base there. Present middle, yes, for battle. Present infinitive middle. So it would be stop doing. That's the imperative of prohibition. Don't do it. And then the imperative top of page 176 of entreaty, Luke 17:5, prostes hemein piston, increase our faith. The entreaty, the request, the prayer, see, increase our faith. Not an order, a command, but just an entreaty and a request, sort of a prayer, that this may be the case, as the disciples asked the Lord in this. And the fourth, the imperative of permission, but if the unbeliever depart, let him depart. 1 Corinthians 7:15. Codes zesto. Let him depart. He has permission to depart. He's a permissive sort of imperative. So those are the four imperatives. Any questions on any of these or comments you might have on that?
What's the difference in the imperative in, of entreaty and with command?
Mm-hmm.
You tell by the context?
I think so.
You want to say you're commanded to do something.
That's right. I think the faith healers today use the imperative of command with the Lord. I demand, Lord, you heal this man. You this demon get out. So rather than the imperative of entreaty, and I believe that's somewhat unbecoming to put it mildly. I think there's a point in which we can pray in faith and ask, but that still should be the entreaty, the request, rather than that ordering and telling God what he should do.
There's a verse, something about the some works of my hands command.
The works of my hands? He's put them under the work of thy hands, mm-hmm. thy fingers. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy hands.
It's speaking to somebody
concerning
the works, command thou me, and
offer
them take
thy. Oh, command thou me, is that right? Yeah. Hmm. So in other words, command thou me. I see, in the command. Well, that's, I don't have my concordance, it's over there, but I can look that up. That may be what they have very different verses, that they use to command. And
lead us not into temptation, is that?
That'd be an imperative. And I suppose imperative of entreaty, yes, I think so.
That's my question. How do you make it?
That has to be the context. Yeah. If Agrippa were telling Paul something, you'd think that would be a command, because he is the superior to the subject, you might say. But if Paul were asking the Lord something, I think it'd be sort of entreaty. I think that would be it.
Okay.
I have to go by context.
I think here that the ancient Greeks never employed the imperative in communication with superiors.
Mm-hmm. That's a paragraph.
That's
fine print there. That 175. Mm-hmm. That's right. The imperative with superiors. In other words,
is it in the Lord's prayer?
Well, except to be the imperative of entreaty, I suppose that's the only way. Now, who says this? Let's see, that second one or the first one there?
No, 176.
Oh, I'm looking at 175.
Permission.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, the permission.
Fine printer.
Ancient Greeks regarded it, characteristic force, never employed imperative communication with superiors. All right. Forcible tone of command, characteristic force, though it might shade off into mere permission, the ancient Greeks never used it in communication with superiors. So I would think that that's, of course, because Koine is a little different than the ancient Greek as far as their usage is concerned, and when they say lead us not into temptation, let's look at that verse. That would be Matthew 6. To lead would be ago. Let's see what that form would be. John 6. Is it 6? 6, yeah, let's see.
13, 6:13.
13, okay.
Matthew 6:13.
Believe us not. All right, 13, may ace in case. Yes, well, that would be ace in any case is the subjunctive, is it not? From ace ferro, to carry and to bear, ace in any case, in any case.
It wouldn't be the imperative.
I don't think it would be. may we not be led into, see, it would be a milder form, see. Ace, so that's the situation. That would fit in with the ancient Greeks, then, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Ace enenke. Let's see if I can find that. How does it spell? Ace enenke. Ace enenke. Well, let's see. I lost my hand. Ace 13, huh? Ace N. Okay. All right, that's on page 120 from Ace Ferro. Ace and NK, second person, first aorist subjunctive. See? So that's it, that's the subjunctive. So it's the use in that case of a subjunctive as an imperative, isn't it? Which we saw last week over on the subjunctive mood, page 171, the hortatory subjunctive, maybe let us hold fast or prosper, deliberative or subjunctive of emphatic negation. Probably the
prohibition exactly,
isn't. Yes, there would be prohibition. That's right. It'd be the second one. That's right. It says it would be negative. Yeah, Mason. I think, in fact, that's the very one used, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 6:13. Mm-hmm. So don't lead us into temptation. Any other questions on mood before we're moving into tense? All right, the tense, the time, it's usually an action type thing. It's the distinctive function of a verb, paragraph 167, to express action, time of the action, and the kind of the action. They're two separate instances there. But for the Greek, time is just a minor consideration, the Greek tenses we've seen before. The main picture is the type of action, the kind of action, top of 178 and paragraph 169. This is the fundamental significance, the Aktionsart, the kind of action, the German term, Aktionsart, kind of action. Now, the aorist, notice in that paragraph 169, aoristos, without limits, undefined. Horizo is a boundary and a horizon. It's the horizon on our that divides the sea from the land. And ahoristos is without limits, without defined, indefinite action. That's your aorist. Perfect is completed action, present, continuous action. Those are the three different types. There are three fundamental tenses in Greek. Present, the perfect, and the aorist. And these three tenses develop irrespective of time. Now, the action is continuous. That's the principles of the present tense. Of course, in the past would be the imperfect, but not imperfect tense in the past. Continuous past action. And the action is complete. That would be your perfect. It is finished, the telestai. It is completed. That's the Lord's cry from the cross. It is finished. And an action as occurring. Just a simple occurring, a dot with the aoristic thought of undefined, indefinite action. That's your aorist. So those are the three tenses, basically, the three times that we have there. And then in paragraph 170, the two fundamental ways of viewing action. It's a single perspective as a point, we could say. That's a punctiliar type action. That would be your air. It's just a point. Or maybe regarded as in progress, as a line. And thus we have linear action. So punctiliar point action, linear action that would line out and have some duration to it. Perfect tense is a combination of these two ideas. It looks in perspective at the action, regards the results of the action as continuing to exist. Remember, that's what we said one time about it is written. Remember? Gegraptai. It stands written in the past, and it still is written right to this day, preserved by God in His Word. So the same thing we said about Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace Sessos Meno. Have you been saved in the past and the results of those? That salvation continues right up to the present. See, it's a completed action, but its results continue to exist. That is, in progress at a given point. Hence, the perfect has two elements, both elements, linear and punctiliar. The aorist may be represented by a dot, the present by a line, perfect by a combination of a dot and a line. Now, that's what we're trying to say with the perfect. It happened in the past completed, but the results continue right on into the present. That's your perfect. See? So these are your actions, dot, line, or dot, line, combined. And the evidence, two verb types, they try to say one dirty, one linear, that's what they believe. There is some evidence to that, the linear and so on. Pharaoh, like that, or Eninken, Thule, so on. So we'll get into those details. Perfect is right in itself. Moulton insists that there's subject of which many most crucial questions of exegesis depend. Tense. Well, that's true. Exegesis is very dependent upon tense, exactly how you interpret a passage in the scriptures. And then paragraph 171, finally, as we close tonight, the analysis of the tenses that we offer, we've not been exhaustive, but suggestive. And that's basically what we have in the rest of the divisions here and on tense. It's not in detail, but it's enough to give us some help as to how we may interpret and understand the different tenses. Any questions or comments on the material there that we've either taken up tonight or even before? All right, next time we'll take up the present tense, regular uses and special uses, and imperfect tense, a little bit of the imperfect as well. And those are the linear tenses that we'll draw upon. Okay, keep up the good work. We have just one more lesson, you remember, before our final. Next week is the 20th, and take our final 9:25 through 41. We'll finish up the 9th chapter of John, and then we'll review a little bit. Then the final will be in the 27th, January 27th. 20th, I guess we're all right on that. Now, the final, I think what we'll do is just simply give you Dana and Maddie, and have you to use what we've looked at so far to see if you can come up with what you would suggest as the type of imperative you might find in a certain given passage in the book of John that we've taken. I don't particularly care if you want to use your lexicons or other helps that you want to use. I want to see how you can apply the Dana and Maddie, and how you would understand it, what kind of pronouns, what kind of, as a demonstrative, what sort of things that we've taken up, see? What sort of tense, what kind of present, what sort of subjunctive and mood and different things like that. So that's basically what I want to do. It's a useful thing. We haven't had time, really, frankly, to do in much of it in our class because of the time frame. We must translate and look at things, but that's what I'd like you to do if possible. Would one of you please close in a word of prayer as we close our lesson tonight?
Father, we thank you again for the opportunity and privilege to be here tonight to study from thy word in this language. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to discipline our lives to be real students of the word and of this language, and just pray you'd give us understanding of it, Lord, and we might know it and better be able to know you because of knowing the language.
Yes.
Help us to be faithful and obedient to you as you teach us from your word, Lord, that these things might not pass from us, but we make application to our lives and obedience to them. And thank you for our teacher, Lord, and him giving of this precious time to help us to learn the language. And I pray, Lord, you just use this time that he prepares and as he goes over the language, just help him to understand it even more than he does now, Lord. And you'd help us all to be thy servants and ministers of thy word. And now just bless us as we're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ruth, would you...